the blessing of Job. Verse 3, there's prosperity, there's possessions. And remember, this is in an agricultural society, or were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Very successful, very prominent. And his sons, this is the intensity of his love for the Lord, and his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. Very close-knit family. Verse 5, and it came about when the days of feasting completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning, offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. And right there is what Satan wants Job to do, is curse God. Now the scene shifts from the earth to heaven. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and stalking around on it. You'll recall, this has always been the activity of Satan, even in prehistoric time. Here is the planet Earth. It has been the function of this creation of God, the most magnificent of God's creation, the seal of perfection of God's creation, roams around the earth. And now what he's doing, he's roaming around the earth. He's trying to find that born-again believer who indeed lives the Christ-centered life, who is going to serve the Lord, who is going to live the Spirit-filled life, who is going to exercise spiritual love reflecting the glory of Jesus Christ. That is why he is roaming about. And we've studied the two different words in dealing with roaming and walking. Now, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Now note that it is God who brings up Job's name. So it really doesn't matter whether God brings up your name or Satan brings up your name. It is God who is going to do the permitting of the suffering that you are about to incur. I'm calling this when Satan calls your name. We'll see it in chapter 2, and then we'll see it with Peter, with the Lord, with others, that Satan actually asked God for a specific name. But here it is God who brings up the name. But again, it doesn't matter whether Satan brings up your name or God brings up your name. It is God who will permit Satan to zero in on you and on your life. And then we have this deal, do I really want God or Satan to call my name? And we study how important and essential and what a privilege it is to suffer for his benefit. And the Lord said in verse 8 to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth. He is isolated now. And he is his servant. First his servant, Satan was the servant of Jehovah, and now Job is. Satan hates all servants of the Lord. Jesus Christ said, if you would serve me, you must follow me. Then he says, there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God, turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, and now we enter into the great battle. Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Principle. Here's what Satan is saying. You are not worthy to be loved. And no one is going to love you unless you bribe them. You have to bribe people. You cannot really take them out of my kingdom. You cannot take them out of my domain unless you bribe them. That's the only reason people love you. Therefore, we come to a rather interesting, introspective question. Why do you love the Lord? Is it because of the prosperity on earth? Because of the things that you receive on earth? Why do any of us love the Lord? Is our love with strings attached or not? This is what Satan is contending. And now this morning we move into the test. And we'll just call this the test when Satan calls your name. We're studying testing in James chapter 1 in our Sunday study. But here we have the test when Satan calls your name, the severity of life when Satan zeroes in on you. Already said, but put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has. Now here is what Satan wants, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now, pardon the slang, but it's right here in the text. The ideal of the translation being, and I'll be damned, in other words, I'll be sentenced, if he does not curse you to your face. I contend that he will, and I'm staking on this. All right, let's note a few things. We won't belabor it too long, but let's note some things in this study. But put forth thy hand. Satan challenges God to move against Job, and he's challenging the motivation of Job. Put forth thy hand. This is an idiom, to strike him with the power of your might. It's an idiom, and I'm not going to go any further. I think most of you can see that.